Welcome in to a very special edition of Sportball, and I'm allowed to say that today, Seth, because it's Pi Day. 3.14159265 3, I want to say. After that, I'm not so sure.
Thought it was an 8 in there.
It does feel like there should be an 8.
Isn't it 8653?
Yeah, I think you're right. I sit here before me only 3 drinks.
Wow.
One of which is a Guinness, which I pour myself to celebrate the infighting in our Dynasty Basketball League today, where we were basically like the two sides of Congress. So,
I mean, I would say we're much more polarized than Congress at this point.
So you see a trio before you beleaguered and beset by constant fighting throughout the day. But we're going to put all that beside us because we're here to provide entertainment for the people.
That's right.
Our five fans turn into this podcast for what? We're not sure.
A distraction.
From their everyday toils.
Probably like for white noise as they're going to sleep, I would guess.
Yeah, we're great for that. We're going to hit the NFL and the NBA today. Our two favorite sports, you might say. NFL free agency was wild. We're going to hit that. And then we're going to do a little NBA at the end. A little who's contending? Who do you think can win the finals? Just a little check-in. Let's start with the NFL, though, if you allow me. There was, dare I say, it was either a free agency flurry or a free agency frenzy. And I'm not sure which one sounds better. I'll workshop it. But
it was not a furry frenzy, though.
That's when I go to my convention this weekend. Let's start with our favorite player that moved over free agency. Kirko Cousins, baby.
Let's go.
Kirko bangs.
Finally, the scourge of Kirk Cousins is gone from Seth's Minnesota Vikings.
Hallelujah.
He went to Atlanta for $100 million guaranteed over a three, four years. First couple are guaranteed. Seth, how do you feel?
Wow. I have described my emotions as ecstatic. Joyous, just thrilled. I have been a vocal proponent on this podcast in the past against Kirk Cousins, and it just got to the point where, yes, he's not, you know, objectively speaking, he's not the worst quarterback in the NFL. There's quarterbacks who are worse than him, but he's mediocre enough where we don't have a chance at contending with him. And he draws you in with good stats, especially in meaningless games. And then right when you need him the most, he just fails you over and over and over again. And so when you're in that position where every year you feel like, oh, this is the year our team could be good. We've got a lot of weapons this year. We have an okay quarterback. Maybe we can put it together. And then every year it's the same disappointment over and over. It just became where I got to the point, honestly, 2 years ago, but got to the point where anything would be better than this. Even a quarterback like we got Sam Darnold, who's objectively speaking worse than Kirk Cousins, I would rather have that player. Plus, it just shows that the Vikings realize, like, we need to do something else long-term. I don't think anyone thinks that giving Sam Darnold a 1-year contract is the Vikings saying, okay, here's our quarterback for the future. So I'm really optimistic about what that future is going to look like. I think we will draft a quarterback this year, you know, and have them compete in their first year with Sam Darnold to be the starter. I don't know whether that's going to be at our number 11 pick or we're going to try to trade up or trade down, but I'm just feeling great. I think the Falcons made a huge mistake picking up Kirk Cousins. I think Falcons fans will be disappointed. I saw somebody comparing like what they did last year where they passed on giving Lamar Jackson about the same amount of money. And instead, they gave it to Kirk Cousins, who has never approached the level of Lamar Jackson, and he's, whatever, like 8 years older. So good luck to them. Good riddance to Kirk. Thanks for the memories. Although I got better memories with Case Keenum. And bring on Michael Penix Jr.
Kyle, you some might even paint you as a mild Kirk Cousins fan over the last year or so. Would you like
things
to
have
give
changed to drastically? Give... It seems like not so long ago we were in a bar in Nashville, Tennessee, having an argument that certainly Kirk Cousins was not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Whilst that conversation was going on, there was also a conversation going on in the bathroom of that same bar with a completely different group of people about the same exact topic somehow.
I was accosted at the urinal.
Not the first time.
But this last year before injury, Kirk Cousins truly was one of probably the top five performing quarterbacks before his injury. He really was incredible this year. Now, is that because I can't even say that it was because of Justin Jefferson, because he got injured pretty early on. And he was propping up a rookie who's also a really good NFL player, but he was just performing really well. He was managing games well. I feel like we didn't have a ton of those late game antics that led to turnovers. That so yes, has some of that stuff happened in the past with him? Yeah. But I think we saw the best side of Kirk Cousins this past year. And maybe the man's just aging like the finest bottle of wine someone can find. And the weapons that are in Atlanta shouldn't be harder for him to play with. Like, you have what prospect-wise was one of the best tight ends to ever come out of college in Kyle Pitts. Drake London was a top 12 drafted wide receiver, and although hasn't put up a ton of numbers to laud over, he's had some really big games with some extremely shitty quarterbacks, like bottom of the barrel quarterbacks. And you got Bijan in the backfield that's just a walking or a running highlight reel. Like, it's the weapons that they have there is crazy. We got new coaching. We don't have to pray that the son of UPS, is that what FedEx. It is? FedEx? Eh, same difference, right?
Exactly.
I would be furious.
Utilizes players the right way. I don't think we're going to be seeing Bijan coming off the field on goal line situations. I just think there's a lot to look at. The fans of Atlanta are as scarred as Chicago Bears fans, I feel like. So any change is good. Maybe this turns into a Jay Cutler situation for them, which as Bears fans was some of the best time to be a Bears fan.
I remember those days fondly. I'm kind of, let me wait in here because I'm kind of in the middle of both of you. Listen, Kirk Cousins is better than Desmond Ridder, who was maybe the worst quarterback in the league. 31st or 30th worst quarterback in the league. Kirk Cousins is 15th or whatever he may be. I'm a little concerned that he tore his Achilles, which is a very serious injury, and I'm a little concerned that he's 36. However, it was not, you know, the deal might seem huge, but it's really a 2-year deal. They can get out of it very easily after 2 years. About $45 million per year, whatever.
2 years too long.
So, you know, they're not going to get a quarterback in this year's draft, not at one of the top three ones at least. So they said, all right, Kirk, bridge us for 2 years. Let's see if we can make a wild card. Let's see if we can win the division and lose in the first round or squeak by a first round win. And then we'll draft the quarterback in 2 years. Not really dissimilar to what the Vikings might do with Sam Darnold, to be honest. The other factor is that this owner and this probably the GM and the team just wants to not see this, you know, a quarterback back there who can't even complete a pass every Sunday. Like, the vibes were atrocious the last 2 years over there.
True.
Now Kirk's coming into the press conference with his kids. They're all wearing chains. People love it. Let them be happy, I say. Let them be happy. Let them lose a first-round playoff game, and we can all move on with our lives.
If that's the goal, then they did great. If they're looking for mediocrity or a playoff appearance for competence during the regular season, then I think you're right, mission accomplished. I do think it's astonishing that, in my opinion, his value went up because he tore his Achilles.
We were so sad. He went up
because he tore his Achilles?
You can never really know, but I think what would have happened is if he hadn't torn his Achilles, the Vikings would have made the playoffs, and then he would have been terrible in our first playoff game. We would have lost just like the year before, and then everyone would be like, oh, same old Kirk Cousins. But now it's far enough removed from some of those past disappointments, and they say, oh, well, he was looking good until the injury, so I bet he'll be good.
I mean, it's not even that far removed. He lost to Daniel Dimes in the playoffs, not the last season, but the season before that.
I know.
Daniel Dimes. He lost to him.
Kyle, should we just make a bet right now, Kyle? Do you think the Falcons will win a playoff game next year?
Can we just bet on that they do make the playoffs?
I mean, if you think they're not going to win a playoff game, then we're basically in agreement.
Yeah, but we like that for them because these poor guys just went 7-10 watching Desmond Ridder throw an interception every three passes.
Hey, like I said, if you're looking for a 10-7 season and a first-round playoff exit, you're looking great.
That's exactly what they're looking for.
Okay, mission accomplished then.
Hold on.
But I'm saying it doesn't really preclude them from – It doesn't stop them from taking quarterback in 2 years, you know. I mean, I don't really think so, at least.
Yeah.
I'll do that bet.
Great.
I feel like I want neither side of that bet.
Well, you're not part of it, Sam. You want to do 10 or 20, Kyle?
Let me see. How much are each of your mortgages?
We can do 20.
All right. For the listeners, we're obviously talking 20,000.
And Kyle has promised us that he's actually going to start tabulating which ones we win and lose.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
We thought he was doing for the last 10 years.
No, I just wrote them down to remember them, and then I erased them as soon as they were done.
Yeah, I never assumed he was tabulating them. But
no, me either. All right. Next, let's talk about a player that we all enjoy and we can all agree on. Saquon Barkley and his Thunder thighs move in division to the bitter, bitter rivals. From his New York Giants, he moves over to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll say I kind of like this. The money was high, but I don't mind paying a premium for a player that's actually the best at his position, or, you know, maybe he's second or third best behind McCaffrey. And the Eagles, I like when a team pays for a top-tier running back when they feel like they're one piece away. Hence, again, the Niners with McCaffrey. We saw how great that worked out. The Eagles obviously had a disappointing season, but they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You know, 2 years ago, they could probably reasonably argue they're one piece away from contending again. And honestly, that one or two pieces might be their coordinators as well, who they changed in the offseason.
That was necessary.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously going to be extremely dynamic when you have Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley in the backfield, and then you have Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown going into motion. You don't really know what you're going to do as a defense. So I like it quite a bit for the Eagles. Kyle, how do you feel about this interdivision move from Saquon?
I mean, you got to like it. He's obviously the best running back that Jalen Hurts will have played with.
Austin Scott would like a word.
The one thing you do worry about is, well, you shouldn't have to worry about it now with all the coordinator changes. Were they going to be bringing in Boston Scott when it was first and goal from the 5-yard line any longer? That should not be a thing. I think we know what Saquon is. Even after his injuries, he's still an absolute stud of a running back. How a team is going to defend Hurts and him on like a read option, I don't really know how you do that. with how good of runners they both are. And then you still got all the receiving weapons in Philly. So the biggest question to me is really the defense, right? That was the biggest problem last year for the most part too. So
right. I feel like the offense wasn't as big a problem as the defense down the stretch.
No, I mean,
their
certainly
defense
not.
Was really bad.
It was one of the worst in the league. I don't really understand what happened. But hope to correct that. They'll be back in the playoffs. Hopes for a Super Bowl again. Super Bowl opportunity again. So I like it. I like it a lot.
Seth, you love Saquon.
Big Saquon guy. I mean, my initials are SQ, which is two of the three first letters of his name.
had no idea where you're going for that. And you did not land the plane successfully.
Wait, what's your middle name? Why do I think? What's your middle name again?
My middle name's Everett.
Oh, damn, I thought it was something to start with an A. I thought it was Allen for some reason.
Averett.
Anywho, love Saquon. I think the biggest thing with the Eagles last year was just the vibes. You mentioned the vibes of the Falcons. Like, the vibes on the Eagles were just horrendous for a team coming off the Super Bowl appearance. And so I think they did need some significant shakeups. Obviously, you mentioned the coordinators. Hopefully that could help for them. And I think even if, you know, analytics tells us that running backs don't matter that much, don't pay for running backs, like you said, at the very tip top, I think I'm okay with it. And Saquon is still a big name who can bring some positive energy and positive vibes to that locker room. And so I think helping change the vibes there will be a big impact from Saquon regardless.
Breaking news. The Chicago Bears have just made a trade to send a fourth round pick to the LA Chargers for Keenan Allen.
Wow. Oh my God. I love that.
Wow.
Old receivers are back, baby.
Breaking news on the pod. Keenan Allen, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Now, this probably means that we don't draft Roma Dunze at 9, which really sucks, but
we could do both.
We could. We should.
Keenan's not going to last forever, you know?
He hopefully lasts this year.
Yeah.
Fourth like round pick, though.
Nothing. Didn't with the Chargers like just resign him or no?
I think so. Last year, I think they extended him, but their cap situation is one of the worst in the league. So they just had to restructure. I'm surprised he actually did it. I think they just restructured Bosa's contract.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
but yeah, they were.
Who is Justin Herbert throwing to? Because they released Mike Williams.
No one, absolutely no one.
Maybe they're going to draft Johnson.
So John Harbaugh just came in and he's like, I know we have a stud quarterback. Let's take away all his weapons.
John Harbaugh.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't, that's interesting. I mean, maybe they're just looking and being like, we can't sustain this cap. And Keenan Allen,
they could not sustain the cap.
Like,
they had to get rid of him.
Isn't on the same timeline as Herbert. So they're just going to try to get younger, cheaper players in there.
I keep hearing that it's not out of the question that they trade Herbert and let Harbaugh draft and build from the ground up.
That we'll take him in Minnesota.
Listen, Herbert is, I'm kind of down on Herbert. That would be insane. I was just thinking today about how I already think CJ Stroud is way better than Justin Herbert.
That's facts.
I feel like CJ Stroud might be like the third best quarterback in the league and Herbert's like sixth, because like you think about it, you put Herbert on the Texans team. There's no way he's elevating them to the playoffs. I feel like, I just feel like he doesn't elevate the talent around him as much. He just kind of fits into a system. Anyway, that's an aside. Keenan Allen, man, I'm looking at his stats. This guy just has 100 catches, 1,000 yards every year. I mean,
yeah, he's almost just like as good as Mike Evans, but not quite.
Exactly. He's a worse Mike Evans, and that's why I love him.
Yeah.
I'm so deep in the hole on this at this point that I'll never be able to return. So you'll never hear a positive thing about Mike Evans from me, no matter the stats that he puts up and no matter the fact that he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't give a shit.
I respect that, honestly. Yeah, he will be 32, but you know what? 32 is the new 29. At least he didn't just tear his Achilles in the offseason. All right, that's cool.
Don't you dare wish that evil upon me, Ricky Bobby.
Let's talk about Russ real quick. Because this is just kind of hilarious. So Russell Wilson, Seth's first love, and some say only love.
Hope Jasmine's not listening.
She knows the truth. He landed on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It must be said that the Broncos decided to release him before his new extension even kicked in and are now paying $89 million to him over the next 2 years without using his services in any way. That's how sick of him they were. So the Steelers signed him for $1 million and Denver still has to pay that $1 million. So no skin off their back. This I see as a no risk, no reward move here. You know, it's a $1 million contract. He's better than Kenny Pickett, who was the worst quarterback in the league. I know I said Desmond Ridder was, but boy, I don't know. I mean, Kenny Pickett has not shown the ability to throw for more than 5 touchdowns over a 16-game span. So, you know, there's no upside and there's no risk. So I guess they'll probably go 9-8 again.
You should also mention the fact that they got rid of Diontae Johnson as well.
Yes. Yes. They also traded away. Diontae took one look at Russ walk in the building. He said, "Get me the fuck out of here." So, yeah, Diontae went to the Carolina Panthers so that Short King Bryce Young can try to throw over the middle to him and get the pass tipped every time. So he'll be looking good over there.
He hit Diontae with the Steelers country. Let's forge. And Diontae said, "Peace, dog." I was thinking of that. Get me the fuck out of here.
Steelers country. Let's forge. That'd be incredible.
Oh my god. Well, Seth, well, I know you wanted Russell Wilson on the Vikings because he's your favorite quarterback and your favorite team, but
yep.
How do you feel about this move to the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I was bummed because that would have just been glorious to get my boy on the Vikes. But it couldn't dampen my spirits about at least getting rid of Kirk. So I still feel fine about it. And I think the way you described it is pretty good. If I'm looking at this objectively, I don't know how I could argue that Russ is not washed. So I don't think it's going to change the landscape for the Steelers. But like you said, they're paying him the minimum and it can't get any worse than last year. So why not? I mean, you might argue like, oh, they should have done something else or they should have gone after Justin Fields or whatever. But we don't really know what was available to them. So I think the way you described it is fine. And who knows? Maybe Mike Tomlin will work his magic and Russ will be like 50% of what he used to be instead of 5%.
Yeah, Kyle, it's like, they were too low in the draft to trade up for a premium quarterback. And obviously they know Kenny Pickett isn't the answer. I'm curious about what Seth said about them deciding not to go with Fields. Cause I just feel like, you know what Russ is with Fields. It's like, he might suck, but he might end up being better than Russ. Probably a stretch, but you know what I mean? Like,
how was that a stretch?
Better than Russ, I guess, is not now, really, or better than Russ ever was.
Better than Russ ever was, is what I meant.
That's a stretch.
Which could be a stretch. But what I'm saying is Kyle, that's maybe the one door that they didn't open that I would have preferred to this Russ deal.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I have no confidence over the last couple years or from the last couple years of the Steelers really doing anything right. So I don't really know what's happened to the organization. I'm sure they'll still find a way to squeak in a playoff berth somehow. Somehow they always do. But I mean, I Russ is not a game changer any longer, or at least he hasn't shown that in a few seasons now. Who is he going to throw to besides what the hell's his name now? Who's left? Why can't I think of that receiver? He's on our dynasty team.
George Pickens.
George Pickens, yeah. I mean, who else is there? Pat Freiermuth? Don't think so.
I feel like, honestly, George Pickens could be great for Russ. Like, he's going to throw those, like, deeply contested, tough catches on the outside, and the Pickens, that's what he excels at.
The problem is, well, did they change coordinators at all? Because
Arthur Smith, baby. He's back and with a vengeance. That's right. And he doesn't give a shit about your fantasy team. Ben Heyman is FaceTiming right now.
We are live recording a podcast. What do you have to say about the news?
Did you see it?
Yes, we saw it. We have a live reaction.
And now
we have
your fans, Ben Heyman
reaction.
Boys, we are inches closer to winning the NFC North.
Just inches. That's all he thinks this does for us.
Several inches.
Thank you, Ben.
Does this mean we keep Fields or no?
No. No.
Why would it mean we keep Fields?
No, what this does is this puts... Nobody wants him somehow.
This means we draft
Caleb, and we might not draft Adunze at 9 now. That's what this means.
Yeah.
Because now we have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. We lost Mooney, so who's our third receiver?
Gives a shit. Hopefully Rome Adunze.
Not Darnell Mooney, thank God.
Could you imagine?
You know who you're talking to?
Joe, on ESPN, the betting guy, Joe Fortenbaugh, said that because of the Bears' defense improving last year, and them making these moves and potentially picking up Caleb Williams, he said that in the next 5 years, he thinks they can make a Super Bowl. I said that's a bold statement, but we'll see what happens.
Ben. You heard it here first. Joe Fortenbaugh said Bears touchdown.
There's nobody with the internet more reliable than Joe Fortenbaugh.
For anyone who would say something.
I realize he can't hear a thing that you guys are saying either.
Oh, really? All right, tell him to say one goodbye to our fans.
All right, and say goodbye to our fans.
All right, goodbye, Sportball Podcast fans. I love you all.
We love you, Ben. Thank you for the
call.
All
right, bye, Ben. Love you.
Bye. We should do this more often.
Yeah, why don't we just
be accepting more live callers, so just call in to Kyle.
All right. Can we talk about Derrick Henry real quick on the Ravens? Because... that is just sex. That's sexy right there. If I were to be like, hey, who is the coolest? What's the coolest player to team outcome of free agency? Derrick Henry on the Ravens, baby. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry in the backfield. Keaton Mitchell. You put all three of those in the backfield. What the hell are you supposed to do? What are you going to do? Keaton Mitchell is going to run by you. Derrick Henry is going to run over you. And Lamar might, you know, run
scamper 50 yards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just going to be fun. That's all.
That's the hope, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than Gus Edwards.
He's got another 1 or 2 years left in him.
Yeah,
that's the one worry that I have. Right, is did we see the final, like finally the downturn of the Derrick Henry career, or was it just because the Titans were complete ass? Who's to say? We'll find out next year. But
yeah, and that was like the worst season of his career, and he still had what, like 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. So I mean,
when you touch the ball that much, you're bound to.
Right. It's true. But hey, you know who's touching the ball that much last year? Gus Edwards. And
the Gus better. Bus put him on his back for a while there, dude.
I'm a Gus Bus fan, I'll say it.
I hope they actually utilize him in the passing game. I know they didn't utilize Gus really, but the thing is, when they did, Gus had a couple like 30, 40, 50-yard receiving touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Henry could do it and more.
Derek's been doing a little more of that. Yeah, and let's give him a couple catches a game. Seth.
Speaking.
Brian Burns in New York. So apparently Carolina could have had 2 firsts for him last year, widely reported. This year, they say, we'll trade him now. And they don't even get a first. Second round's the best they can do. Seems like malpractice. What say you?
Sorry, which player are we discussing?
Brian Burns. From the Panthers, who was just traded to the Giants for not
over the last 2 seasons, they've traded away DJ Moore.
Yes,
the opportunity to draft Caleb Wilson got Caleb the Wilson. Worst rookie quarterback.
Yeah, it's a combination of Caleb Williams and Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
unstoppable.
drafts what looked to be so far the worst rookie quarterback in last year's draft instead. And got absolutely nothing for a premier defensive player.
But besides that, they've been dynamite, Kyle.
They also lost Christian McCaffrey, what, 2 years ago now, too. What did they get for that?
I don't even remember. It's now a good time to once again remind you that I said they'd be the worst team last year, and everyone scoffed and said to say anyone but Arizona is a travesty and that I should leave this podcast and this country and go live as a nomad elsewhere. I still think
that, for the record.
All those things?
Yeah, and I will say,
of the Panthers,
I believe that statement was based off of the belief that Kyler Murray would not return last year, and he did return. They looked okay with him back.
And our whole point was, it's not going to be the Panthers because they have no incentive to tank.
And who knew Josh Dobbs would be the second coming of Jesus Christ for 6 weeks?
I was going to say, that was what really screwed you over. It was Josh Dobbs. He comes for us all eventually.
The Pastronaut.
Real quick, a couple more moves quickly. Josh Jacobs to the Packers, and then Aaron Jones released and traded. Well, not released, traded to the Texans is what it was switched around to. Kyle, what do you think about that running back carousel there? You like those moves for those two teams?
What was it? It was Mixon to Houston, right? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Because Aaron Jones was on the Vikings now.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. Aaron Jones, Vikings. Mixon, Texans. Jacobs, Packers. Pick anyone. Go ahead.
I don't really know the point of getting rid of Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs. I feel like when healthy, Aaron Jones is a better runner or better running back than Josh Jacobs. I think they're even paying Josh Jacobs more. And I think we saw when he came back and was fully healthy at the end of last season and throughout the playoffs. I mean, the man absolutely destroyed Dallas, which he does anytime he plays there. But either way, I don't know if this means that they're just going to lean into the run more, which is weird to me after what we saw from Love last year. Like, Love looked like he's could be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL if he's honestly not already the way he played. So just a strange move, in my opinion, there. Anything is better than what they had for the most part in Houston. I love the addition of just an experienced player to add back there. I get Singletary has years of experience, but how great has that experience been? Not the best. Not like he was anything really in Buffalo for the most part. So I like the upgrade. Paying running backs, though. So who really cares?
You know, people have often asked me, Sam, are you a fan of Devin Singletary? And the answer is no, I'm really not. I'm not a huge fan of his work. I also feel like Aaron Jones is better than Josh Jacobs, like you said. I don't.
Yeah.
Is that a widely held belief, or is it just me?
I feel like it should be.
Maybe he's more injury prone, though, is the only thing.
Yeah, I think the injury.
Jacobs missed half last season.
Yeah.
Right.
I've always been an Aaron Jones guy, even though he played for the Packers. Like, fantasy-wise, he's been one of the few Packers players that I've had. And I think injuries for sure are a concern, but otherwise, I'm happy to get him for the Vikings. I think he's an upgrade of what we had last year with Alexander Mattison and a little bit of Cam.
He did not work out, Alexander Mattison, huh?
Yeah. Didn't work out.
Why was he only good when spelling Dalvin Cook after his injury?
His name was Alexander Mattison.
Alexander Mattison.
I think that every time. Better,
but...
And then every time he played, I just kept telling myself, just you wait. Just you wait.
any Christian Wilkins to the Raiders thoughts before we move on to the NBA?
No. Next question.
Seemed like a lot of money, but he's good.
Yeah,
I feel like they said actually, hey, we're gonna do the Jordan rules with Mahomes, and they're just doing it. Like, how many dogs can we get on defense while our quarterback remains Gardner Minshew? They're doing the damn thing. Let's switch to the NBA. So, all you NFL listeners, put your kids to bed and put
one more breaking bit of NFL news if you want it.
Of course I do.
Hollywood Brown expected to sign a 1 year deal with the Chiefs.
Oh. I like that.
Finally, some downfield receiving help for them. Yeah, that's the one thing they didn't have last year.
I feel like he's kind of like MVS, but he catches the ball. I kind of like that.
Exactly. And they might have gone undefeated last year if it wasn't for that, right?
If it wasn't for MVS and Kadarius Toney, I don't think they lost a game last year, to be honest.
That's exactly what I just
You know, right, I was thinking if the Chiefs didn't have Kadarius Toney and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, call me crazy. They might have gone undefeated.
I don't agree with that at all. Let's hit the NBA real quick. I gave you guys a task because oftentimes this is what I do actually when I'm trying to fall asleep and I can't fall asleep. I power rank the NBA teams as how likely they are to win the finals this year.
That's fun. I go through and try to name every player, every starting player on every roster.
Mm, that's a good one too.
I was doing that on my bike ride the other day.
Do we have a problem? Okay, so
the task it's fun when I you gave get to you guys, Memphis. Go ahead.
The task I gave you guys today was to list your contenders in the NBA, and the criteria is this: it can be any number of teams you want, and you have to rank them according to your confidence that they will win the finals. And the criteria
hit over the head
is,
with a cast iron pot pan.
Yeah, if you were hit over the head with a cast iron pot and you're in a coma until June 3rd. And you woke up and someone told you that this team won the NBA Finals, would you be flabbergasted? Okay. I have seven teams on my list. Kyle said he has a bit more. I don't know how many Seth has yet.
How many he knows?
He told us it was one.
I have five.
Would you like to start with my list? I know you would.
How should we try to guess each other's lists?
Yeah.
I bet we can do it, Kyle.
Yeah, he's got seven. Number one is obviously Denver. Number two is Boston.
Correct.
He's
so
got
OKC.
No, not a three.
Come on.
Oh, in order. Sorry.
Yeah. He's it's either Milwaukee or Phoenix at three.
Milwaukee, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay.
Then Phoenix at four.
Yeah, that was why it was so funny that he said it's either Milwaukee or Phoenix.
Now maybe OKC or Clippers.
Gonna say the Clippers.
Holy
Clippers,
shit.
Then OKC is six.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then seven is it the Heat or the Mavs?
I'm guessing Heat.
You're right. It's the Heat. Yeah. You got all seven perfectly correct and in the correct order. Why do I even bother?
We really do have a problem.
I put the Heat in there because it's like, you know, doesn't matter what
I know exactly why you did it.
Exactly. All right, let's try to guess Seth's now.
He's got five. Is he crazy enough to really put Boston one?
I don't know. I feel like, no, he's reasonable. He'll put Denver one, Boston two.
He got Denver 1A, Boston 2B, 1B?
Yeah, that's what he's going to say.
Is that right so far?
Yeah, I think Denver should be the favorites, you know. I'm going to pick the Celtics when that inevitably is the finals, but I think Denver should be the favorites.
Okay, so he's not going to have Clippers because he hates James Harden. So all the three teams left.
Is he going to have Milwaukee, though?
Ahead I feel like have Milwaukee and the Heat. I feel like it's Milwaukee, Heat, and the Phoenix.
You think Heat above Phoenix? You think those are the last three, really?
Well, do you think he believes in OKC? Probably
yes.
Not. You think it's OKC over Phoenix? He's definitely going to have Bucks and Heat. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, it's what order, though? It's
he's always
Heat 3, Milwaukee 4. Is that right?
No.
Oh. Damn it.
Are those the two right teams, just in the opposite order?
I have Bucks.
Three.
OKC, 4.
Mm.
Heat 5?
No Phoenix.
Oh, no Phoenix.
So why are you leaving Phoenix off? You would be if I hit you over the head with a cast iron pan and then I woke you up on June 3rd and I said Kevin Durant won the finals with the Phoenix Suns, you would be flabbergasted.
I guess you could push me. You could push me, honestly, to
add six, a team and put them at six
and a half. Because the other team I left off is Minnesota.
But I feel like the cat injury.
Yeah,
I
the
said,
cat injury is.
I would have put them in there before that. Yeah.
I think I would be shocked if Phoenix won, but I wouldn't be flabbergasted.
He's right in there.
So,
but I don't take issue with it. And I mean, I would be pretty. Honestly, I might be shocked if the Heat won, just because I don't think they could beat Denver.
Yeah, you'd be like surprised, but you'd be like, "Wow, I guess they figure out Denver."
Yeah, or I would be like, "Oh, I guess." You know,
Denver didn't
one
make
of the
finals.
West teams managed to beat Denver in a slugfest, and then it was OKC or whatever, and then the Heat just had more, you know.
Right. That's a reasonable scenario,
and veteran experience and they beat the Thunder. Like, something like that would be the only way I think it could be possible. But you just can never rule out the Heat, so.
Okay, so, Kyle, you have my same seven as part of your 11?
Yes.
Okay, so, Seth, he must have added the Knicks. He definitely added the Knicks.
Yeah.
I thought about adding the Knicks, but when I really thought about being in a coma, I was like, I just think I would be shocked if I woke up and they won it. But Kyle has them for sure.
Obviously added the Sixers, because he'll say, well, if Embiid comes back and he looks
good. That's correct. So that's 9. Do you think he went so far as Cavs?
I think so.
Okay, so that's 10. Lakers or Mavs got to be the last one. When we mentioned... Oh, I have the Clippers, though, so that everybody counts as one of the 7.
Yeah.
He acted like he agreed with us when we said Cat injury means no T-Wolves, so I feel like that means his last one is either the Mavs or the Lakers.
Probably Mavs, right?
Gotta be Mavs, yeah.
Although it looked like he shook his head when we were talking about Philly, so maybe it's Lakers instead of Philly.
I don't have the confidence in Embiid returning.
Okay. Wait, so how many? Just give us your 11. your order, though. That's what I'm curious about.
Right, of course. Denver, 1, mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. everyone should have.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have the ball not to put the Celtics at 2?
No way.
He's a reasonable man. I thought about it, but no, I did. I put Boston 2.
He's a father now.
Yeah. I did put Boston at 2, even though I have a bet against them to not make the finals anyways, but
we should mention that bet to our listeners. All right.
You want to mention it now? We can. That's fine. I don't care.
Just tease it. Keep them waiting. Okay.
OKC at 3. Mm. Be damned with the youth not being able to do it. The numbers that they're putting up in the regular season are as good as any championship team we've had in the past. So I don't give a shit.
Do you think he puts Bucks at 11? He hates the Bucks.
I do. I hate the Bucks, but I actually have them 4th.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's reasonable.
And then I have Phoenix 5. This is where things get really iffy, the rest of the list, but I would not be flabbergasted in any of them. Though I do, my last one on the list here, once we get down there, I would be shocked, but not flabbergasted, just like Seth.
That's the line of demarcation.
Yep.
I scratched this out 3 different times and moved, 6 and 7.
Harder than I did.
Well, that's because he thought the pie was at 8:30. It was at 8:45. So he had an extra 15 minutes he's never had before.
Correct. I ended up with the Clippers at 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Because I had Phoenix 5. I don't know if I said that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, because I feel like, because you might think, Sam, you put the Clippers on there, but you're not a big James Harden guy. But I feel like if someone hit me over the head, I was in coma, blah, blah, you get this scenario. If they woke me up and they're like, James Harden finally won a championship because Kawhi Leonard was the best player on his team and he had Paul George as the second best, I'd be like, okay, I can envision that, you know?
That's not how I thought about it, but that's okay. I had the Knicks next. This is obviously...
At 7.
Yeah, yeah. What we saw before the downfall with the OG injury and then the... Jesus Christ. You know how hard it is for me to name the starting 5?
Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson?
Mitchell Robinson to an extent, but Hartenstein has really filled in great for them in that regard. But Julius Randle, I think we saw enough to warrant, you know, to not be flabbergasted. So, and I don't think Randle's going to be out the rest of the year. At least that's not anything that's been said. So, and OG's back, first game back after almost a 2-month hiatus on the IR, played 30 minutes. I don't know why.
That's fine.
This is
the biggest Heat fan we know, and he didn't even put the Heat before the Knicks. That's a little surprising. He has the Heat lower than me.
Get this, I have them even lower. So I have the Cavs next.
Oh, I thought I'd never see this day.
I know. So then after them, I have the Heat at what is that, 9. And my reasoning being, I don't know what this Tyler Hero injury is, and I don't know how long it's going to be. Kevin Love has also not been playing because of some sort of injury as well, and he's massive for them coming off of the bench. Is he going to be healthy?
But they already made the finals without Hero.
Sure. Yeah, I don't disagree. But I also think that the East this year is definitely now harder than it was last year. So that makes their path, especially where they're at. And Orlando's on such a roll that I don't think that they're going to make it past Orlando to be a top, what is it? What are they, a 5 seed right now or something like that?
Yeah.
So that's just such a hard road to go through then at that point to have to make it.
But and trust me, they were a playing team.
I don't disagree with you. That's why they're on the list. And I said I wouldn't be flabbergasted.
Why am I arguing for the Heat right now?
I wouldn't be flabbergasted if it happened, but no. I would be surprised, especially with everything they're dealing with. Mm. I put the Mavs at 10. It's just Luka. Luka's on another level this year. We haven't had anything with Irving. He's sat out some games, sure, but I expect him to be there for the playoffs. They're still trying to get a hang of things, I feel like, after the trade deadline and after the All-Star break. Defensively, it just hasn't been there yet, but I feel like things are going to turn around. Offensively, they could put up with anybody in the league for the most part. And then last but not least, I did put the T-Wolves on here. And this was solely based on the fact that I've been listening to a 2-hour podcast where they're breaking down, like I mentioned to you guys earlier, how since after the All-Star break, actually it might have gone all the way back to like the beginning of February, the league scoring is down so much and they're allowing essentially so much more physical play to go on. And you would expect that when we get to the playoffs, there's just going to be even less calls that are made and they're going to allow even more physicality. So the defense that they have, I think, would be have to be the anchor, obviously. Cat can come back and that would be huge for them. But I also think there's another level to Anthony Edwards come playoffs that we could see. We kind of saw it a little bit last year. They were probably the hardest matchup for Denver last year in their run. So, you know, Naz Reid off the bench too. I just wouldn't be flabbergasted if it happened again. I'd be surprised, very surprised. But I don't think it's like wildly out of the question.
Honestly, of all the teams, Seth, I don't know if you agree with this, that I didn't have on my list that Kyle did, I almost want to say the Mavs would surprise me the least, because if I was in a coma and you woke me up and said Luka Doncic ascended to his rightful role as the second best player in the league behind Jokic and went on an all-time tear in the playoffs, leading the Mavericks to the finals, would I be flabbergasted?
I mean, I guess it's plausible. I just feel like we've said that for the last 2 or 3 playoffs, where it's like, well, you never know about Luka, and every year he's incredible, and every year they still lose, and they haven't shown me enough in the regular season that this year's any different than that. So I would
say they definitely have a much better team around him this year than any other year he's played, whether the stats, at least on the defensive side, back it up.
I do feel that way too. I mean, they finally have like good centers.
I mean, Daniel Gafford hasn't missed a shot in 31 shot attemps over, what, 5 games now?
He's going for Wilt's record of 35. He's got to take 2 dunks. We cannot 32. Mess with Ron with this.
He's games over
truly like, the ideal pick and roll. I mean, yeah. But the West is a gauntlet, though. Dude. They might be at that, but they're also, what, like 5 games back from a top 4 or 5 seed? 4 seed? So
that's the thing about the West that I wanted to talk about, too, is like it's all matchup dependent, I feel like. I could see some upsets occurring even in the first round. All these teams are very good. You know, one team, Seth, we didn't mention is the Lakers, your hated rivals, as somebody we thought could win the finals. If they get matched up against OKC in the first round, that's going to be tough for OKC. I would still pick them to win, but during the regular season matchups, the Lakers have shown a proclivity for getting on the boards against them and kind of bullying them into submission. And if I was them, I would that's a matchup I would prefer to avoid in the first round for fear of upset.
Yeah. And I think when we're talking about it, when you look at a team and you're just thinking about them and you think, okay, yeah, they could make a run. This could happen. They've looked really good over this stretch. Like, if everything goes right. But they still have Denver waiting for them.
Mm.
Who the fuck is beating Denver? Nobody can beat
Denver.
So I just keep coming back to that. I'm like, no way Dallas could beat Denver, you know?
So, yeah.
I don't disagree. I mean,
Denver if there was if there's not an ounce of surprise in me, it would just be the first two. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. You would be surprised if anyone besides Denver, the Celtics won.
Yeah. At least mildly. Wouldn't you agree, Kyle? Well, you wouldn't be flabbergasted by anything.
No, I don't get flabbergasted often. Again, I do have concerns with Boston. But I can't deny the fact of what they've done for the most part for the regular season. It's just like in big games or against. So the games in which they don't run away from it from another team, they have a losing record this year. Like 5 minutes crunch time games, I guess, clutch time games. They have, I'm pretty sure they have a losing record. And most of those losses are to current playoff teams. So what does that do come playoffs? I mean, it's like, I don't feel like what we've seen this year, especially just thinking back to recently against Denver, Jaylen Brown had it all game, but it didn't seem like at the end of the game in crunch time, there was still really a set player to take over. Like we usually think that would be Tatum's role, but he's been so bad this year in those moments that what makes me think, why should I believe that come playoff time, it's just going to flip and he's going to be hitting 40% from three every night or when it matters the most, when he hasn't done that this year.
Yeah, and I think the clutch performance is a real concern for the Celtics. We'll see how much that comes into play in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I would still prefer that they don't have anybody who's just their go-to guy in clutch situations or like, yeah, we always give it to Tatum at the end of the game. I would prefer they just run their normal offense. You know, if anything, it's like a Derek White, Kristaps Porzingis pick and roll, what we should be doing.
I agree with you.
Drive and kick, you know. So I don't disagree that that's a concern, but I feel like that's a big picture. It's a minor concern when after they just beat Phoenix, they're now 9.5 games better than second place in the East. So at some point it's like, all right, what are we talking about here?
We should mention our bet. We're hot with these bets. Kyle bet us. Kyle took the field in the East basically. And Seth and I took the Celtics.
As to make the, finals, make the finals, right?
Out of the East, yeah.
Yeah.
And we put everything on it. So if the
so
Celtics don't make the finals,
somebody is going to be homeless after this.
Somebody let us sleep on your couch. I think it's a very interesting bet, though, because that's almost like a 50-50 proposition, I feel like. Just because there's so many other teams, obviously, but Boston has been so dominant.
Yeah, I think it was based on the odds in Vegas. You know, I love them. The implied odds was like 52% for Boston to make it out of the East. So essentially a fair bet then.
Yeah.
Take the field versus them.
It'll be interesting. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much done it. I'm not sure who else would ever want to hear more of us speak.
The only thing is, right around the corner, Selection Sunday is this weekend. We have March Madness starting next weekend.
Let's go.
There are a few players, since I know you don't watch college basketball, names you want to keep an eye on.
Rob Dillingham.
Rob Thrillingham, obviously up there. Above Rob, though, is Reed Shepard. Same team. Both play for Kentucky. Reed is You guys haven't watched any Kentucky games. He is something else to watch. He's shooting like nearly 50% from three for the year. It's like he shoots and he's like almost not going to miss for the most part. Defensively, he's got this crazy tenacity. I think I said earlier, he's like kind of like Derek White, but cooler and better.
I love that.
How could he be cooler?
Or better.
Or better.
He has hair and a hairline.
Hey, whoa. Nothing wrong with being bald, all
right? That's right.
Know your audience, Kyle. God.
Tennessee, Dalton Connect, I think.
Yeah.
You see, but
I've been watching highlights of him.
Duke can score from all three phases, all three,
you know, special teams,
everywhere.
Even.
Yeah, everywhere on the court. He's truly just a walking bucket. He's insane to watch. He'll pull up from deep. He's got crazy finishing on drives, tough drives to the rim. That'll be fun to watch.
What about that guy with the glasses from Indiana State?
Oh, yeah.
You're I like talking him.
About Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they call him.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, Robbie Avila.
Yeah, that's my boy, dude. Is he going to make the tournament, though?
Well, so they lost the championship match for their conference. People are up in arms that they might not make it now.
Oh.
I don't know if the committee has the balls to not put Kareem in the tournament.
Got to put Kareem in.
But if he is, definitely one to watch out for. He's like, it's so weird to give a comp anyone to this, but he's like a Joker light.
Yeah, that's what it looks like in
literally
the highlights.
Does everything.
Yeah.
And the shots that he makes, like, how does this kid that looks like that make this shot? But he always does. He's so good. It's wild. He's not athletic at all. He might not be able to jump higher than you.
Okay.
Last one, assuming he's healthy, he's sitting out their conference tournament, but Marquette's Tyler Kolek. He is like probably the best true point guard in the class. Right up your alley, Sam, in terms of players that you like. Truly just does it all. Takes what's given to him. He can hit shots if he needs to. But he's looking to pass first.
Give me a
top tier facilitator throughout all of college basketball. Comp for him, probably Chris Paul Light.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, that's so tell me, and our listeners, why I shouldn't just pick Kentucky to win March Madness.
Their defense hasn't been great for a lot of the year. However, they really turned it on the last 3 weeks now. So they're coming into the tournament hot. But Houston this year, their defense is absolutely out of this world. And they might have the best shooting on their team that they've had. Like, I feel we talk about Houston every year.
I know.
I feel like they're just at this point a perennial lock to almost make the Elite Eight at least.
I'm penciling them into the Elite Eight for sure.
Yeah, their Final Four material, their championship material. But, yeah, so defensively, best team in the league, probably hands down. Their shooting has really turned up over the last month as well. So you got them. Then you got UConn, again, as always.
They don't have Shigwe anymore, though.
Who?
Oscar Shigwe, wasn't that his name?
Yeah. No, but they got Donovan Klingon, who's, I think, mocked to be a first-rounder as well.
I remember
him. He started the season on kind of a minutes limit, but he's, over the last month and a half, they've kind of been pulling that back. He's been getting closer to 30 minutes a game. He's just an absolute force down low. Kind of like I think he'd be probably really good as like a center on OKC if they have a later mid to late first round pick.
Yeah, maybe they grabbed him as their big guy that they've been looking for off the bench, yeah.
Yeah. And then who's it? Stephon Castle too, I think, right? Is he their point guard?
Never heard
of him.
I think
I know these things. That sounds right though for UConn.
Seth, are your Syracuse orange in the tournament? Wow.
I mean, Selection Sunday hasn't happened yet, but no.
No, they won't be either. They were pretty bad this year.
On my final line, part. I they already do said have, what we always do.
Yeah. What the fuck's his name? Shannon is projected to maybe be a late first rounder.
Illinois is just going to do what we always do. We're going to be 4-5 seed, and then we're not going to be able to shoot in the first game for some reason, and then we'll lose. You can book that.
So there you have it. Players to watch out for that are almost assuredly going to be drafted next year in the NBA draft that have nowhere to go but up with their stock. The Ringer just recently, or Kevin O'Connor at least, just recently, I think, put Reed Shepard as number one on his mock, which assumed that San Antonio
lottery.
Ends up with the first pick.
Yeah.
Because they need a point guard. He'd be great for them. That'd be sick.
This has been College Time with Kyle Olson. Thank you all for tuning in. I think that wraps it up for us, boys.
Certainly.
Seth looks like he's ready for bed. I'm certainly ready for another Guinness. Kyle, send our listeners off with something to wet their whistles for the long weekend.
The Bears now have a top three wide receiver group in the NFL without even adding a third wide receiver. You're welcome.